This is Piedmont Arts. The Charlotte Master Chorale has been an uplifting creative presence for three quarters of a century, and they have two performances coming up in February that'll demonstrate the ensemble's artistry with a very moving work. Hi, I'm Phil Vavra. On this episode, you'll hear from the Charlotte Master Chorale's artistic director, Kenny Potter, about the music they'll be presenting, and later, Rachel Stewart will tell us about a new Charlotte-based reality show called Kings of the Queen City. Plus, I'll get you up to date on some other great events happening across our region with fanfare. Thanks for listening. The Charlotte Master Chorale is an auditioned chorus that performs an annual season of masterworks and contemporary works. The CMC traces its roots back to 1951, when it was founded as the Oratorio Singers of Charlotte, making 2026 its 75th anniversary year. In 1993, they merged with the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, but in 2018 returned to being an independent performing arts organization under their current name, the Charlotte Master Chorale. Now, the Charlotte Master Chorale main chorus will be performing Rachmaninoff's Vespers on Friday, February 6th at First United Methodist Church in Charlotte and Saturday, February 7th at Davidson College Presbyterian Church under the direction of Dr. Kenny Potter, who joins me now. Thank you for taking the time to drop by and chat.
So glad to be here.
So it's the 75th anniversary of the Charlotte Master Chorale. You recently hit the 10-year mark, is that right, as artistic director?
That's correct.
How does it feel having been there over a whole decade now?
Oh, it's been so great to watch the transformation of the choir, first of all, as the symphony chorus, the Charlotte Symphony Chorus, and before that, obviously, Oratorio Singers of Charlotte, to watch the organization grow as an independent organization. The board works really hard, and the singers, it's just lots of vitality. We see more of the Charlotte community, more facets of the Charlotte community participating age-wise, but also backgrounds. And in that case, this group, I think, is poised to grow and grow in excellence.
What do you think accounts for those changes, for this evolution?
I think, number one, it's independence. And that's, you know, I think the Charlotte Symphony does a great job, especially building social media, but their focus is orchestra, obviously. And so we now have more energy focused on social media and continuing to reach the community and serving the community.
How many voices do you currently have on the roster?
On the roster, roughly 130 to 140. And we typically will sing, like the Rachmaninoff, will sing with about 90 to 100 this upcoming performance.
So you sort of always have a bench of reserves, so to speak.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's the chamber choir that we have worked with for WDAV's Charlotte Lessons and Carols. That pulls from the main chorus?
That's correct. It's a subset, so to speak, of the main chorus. And it is made up of extremely talented individuals, most of whom have music degrees and professional training.
How often do you offer auditions for new singers?
Auditions come in January, May, late May, early June, and then also in August.
Now, and when it comes to selecting the music, and we're going to talk about the Rachmaninoff in just a bit here, how far in advance of a season are you thinking about which works you're going to tackle?
So just this morning, I had a conversation with Phil Biedenbender, the managing director, because we are already working hard on the 2026-27 season. So it's 9 months minimum, certainly. Within 6 months, we're going to know the whole season. And we also obviously work with the Charlotte Symphony in the upcoming season.
In the things you're going to do together. Yep. You're only about halfway through this season.
That's correct.
At the moment. So how much rehearsal time goes into, let's say, the Rachmaninoff that's coming up?
Yeah, so one thing that we pride ourselves in doing is the singers, they really focus on musicianship. And so we're able to move quickly in our rehearsal process. So the rehearsal process for the Rachmaninoff will be 5 weeks. And that's pretty short for most choirs, but this choir is full of really good musicians. And we had rehearsal last night, our first rehearsal, and there's so much just great energy. And one of the biggest challenges is the Russian and singing the Russian.
Let's talk about the February performances. Sergei Rachmaninoff's Vespers, composed in the winter of 1915 with texts from the Russian Orthodox All-Night Vigil. And as you said, that's going to be the challenge, the Russian text. And it was apparently one of his favorite compositions.
Yeah, he grew up being enamored with the Russian Orthodox service and music. As a child, he would attend the services. So it was a joy for him to come back to that music and set this work.
So how do you prepare for foreign language text like this?
We supply examples and rehearsal tracks and just coaching. And the singers of the Charlotte Master Chorale are used to singing in foreign languages. Typically it's Latin, or maybe German. So singing in Russian, fortunately, there's transliteration. So rather than trying to read
the Cyrillic.
There's transliteration, so people are able to work it out.
Kind of a phonetic mapping out of everything.
Yeah,
it's a big undertaking, this many, many movements to this.
Yeah, it is a big undertaking. And it's unique because it features the basses, and normally the melody is and melodic material is carried by upper voices, but in true Russian form, the basses get to really stand out, particularly with the low notes.
The Charlotte Master Chorale main chorus will be performing Sergei Rachmaninoff's Vespers on Friday, February 6th at First United Methodist Church in Charlotte, and again Saturday, February 7th at Davidson College Presbyterian Church, starting at, remind me?
7:30,
both performances. Seating for both performances is general admission, being in churches. Tickets are $30. You can get them at charlottemasterchorale.org. And that's also where you can learn more about my guest. Kenny Potter has been the artistic director and conductor of the Charlotte Master Chorale since 2015. Thank you for speaking with me, and continued success.
My pleasure.
In just a moment, Rachel Stewart checks in with news about a new reality show called Kings of the Queen City. Before that, let's see what kind of fun stuff is on the horizon with fanfare. Two conductors will share podium duties as the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra returns to Knight Theater. Music director Kwame Ryan will lead the CSO on January 30th and 31st at 7:30 p.m. Resident conductor Christopher James Lees takes over for the 3 p.m. performance on Sunday, February 1st. The program includes The Unanswered Question by Charles Ives, Sergei Prokofiev's Electrifying Piano Concerto No. 3, and Robert Schumann's Soaring and Triumphant Symphony No. 2. The Western Piedmont Symphony is back at Lenore Ryan University's P.E. Monroe Auditorium in Hickory on Saturday, January 31st at 7:30 p.m. Masterworks Romantic Masters will feature acclaimed guest violinist Andrew Swords with performances of Jean Sibelius' Moving Violin Concerto in D Minor, Antonin Dvořák's Powerful Symphony No. 7, and more. Nexus Jazz, led by WDAV's own trumpet-playing evening host Keenan Harmon, returns to the Stage Door Theater in Uptown Charlotte on Saturday, January 31st at 2:30 p.m. The group will be performing new music from their upcoming recording project. Puppet Palooza returns to Imaginon in Uptown Charlotte on Saturday, January 31st. The third annual festival is an all-ages celebration of the joy and art of puppetry. The free event will feature more than a dozen participating troupes and organizations with shows running all day and a puppet parade. Here's something for all you polar bears. Winter at the Whitewater Center in Charlotte continues with the Frigid Trail Race and Polar Plunge on Saturday, January 31st. The 10K starts at 9 a.m., the 5K steps off at 10 a.m., and runners can follow either race with a teeth-chattering plunge in the deep water solo pool. Blumenthal Arts is bringing another award-winning show to town. Adapted from S.E. Hinton's 1967 novel and Francis Ford Coppola's 1983 film, The Outsiders will be at Belk Theater in Charlotte February 3rd through 8th. The original Broadway production about the troubled teens from Tulsa took home 4 Tony Awards in 2024, including Best Musical. Now, if you wish you knew more about wine but are afraid to ask the questions, Sweeney Preston and Ethan Kavanaugh can help. The Australian comedians are the stars of In Poor Taste at Charlotte's Bloom Studios, February 3rd through 15th. This interactive show includes a wine expert guiding you through tastings of five different wines, non-alcoholic options available upon request, a few tips on how to look like you know what you're doing, and plenty of laughs. Since 2013, the annual Color of Music Festival has been putting the spotlight on leading black classical artists from the U.S., Canada, Europe, and South America. This year's multi-day event returns to historic venues throughout Charleston, South Carolina, February 4th through 7th. The schedule includes chamber music, vocal, piano, and organ performances. One of the concerts on February 5th will honor the father of black classical music, Joseph Bologna, Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges. And the Seacrest Artist Series at Wake Forest University welcomes two-time Grammy Award-winning American mezzo-soprano Janae Bridges to Brendel Recital Hall in Winston-Salem on Thursday, February 5th at 7:30 p.m. Ms. Bridges will perform an all-French program featuring works by Ravel, Berlioz, Debussy, and more. Oui, oui. You'll find other interesting things to see and do, including a wine festival and two oyster festivals, on my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org. I'll have more for you next week, and fanfare is made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Handing things off to Rachel Stewart now to tell us about a new reality show being produced in Charlotte.
Carla Anderson is the founder and executive producer of K-List Productions, which will soon launch Kings of the Queen City, a reality show featuring men from the Charlotte area navigating their lives as fathers, husbands, friends, and working people. And here to talk about the series is Carla Anderson herself. Carla, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. I'm thrilled to be here.
When I found out about this series, it seemed like a really kind of unique and original idea, at least around here. I've never heard of anything like that here in Charlotte. So can you just tell us a little bit about the series, the origin of it, and why you're doing it?
As I became a two-time pandemic mother, I really started to think about and examine the media that was out there that my children would one day be consuming, right? And I realized that a lot of time for Black and brown children, there weren't a ton of role models, at least not in reality and unscripted television. I often saw that we were portrayed really one-dimensionally, where there were either people who were athletes or people who were in the music industry, or maybe even, to be honest, negative portrayals of us in as criminals of some sort. And as an attorney, I thought about the reality of how that could be damaging to the next generation if you don't see representation of yourself in the media, how that really impacts and sometimes limits what you can see of yourself to become one day. And I say, you know, in 2025 and really in the realities of all the technology we have, that if you see something that you want to change or you want to make happen in this world, you go out and do it. You stay humble, you be your authentic self, you have courage and tenacity and fortitude, and the right doors will open and the wrong doors will close. And so that's exactly what I did. In 2024, as an attorney and inclusion leader, I had an opportunity to really think about bringing inclusion that I do in my day-to-day work in a different space to the media. So I launched K-List Productions. I literally called up a friend and I said, hey, I'm going to do this thing. I need some support. This is what it's going to look like. And these are the people who I'm thinking about having it to be involved. And the goal was to make sure that Black and brown men saw themselves as multifaceted, multi-textured, to really think about the reality of how media and how representation can sometimes be healing. And as a person who's on my own mental health journey and trying to destigmatize mental health, that was a key component of the show. And a key thing that I wanted to do was make it real to show that Black and brown men are emotional beings. They're people who are human beings. They're not perfect, but they're striving. And a lot of times the stereotypes about them are not true. People often say, but you're a woman. Why are you creating a show called Kings of the Queen City about disrupting stereotypes for men? And I believe that as a woman, as a Black woman, our destinies are inextricably linked. These men are people that I'm married to, that I'm a daughter of, a cousin, a friend, a real, real tight cousin, you know, people that we're in community with. And I believe that when they heal, when they see themselves represented in different ways, it helps our whole community heal. And it helps us as Black women to have even stronger partnerships, stronger relationships, and to be able to raise stronger families together. So I wanted to say that I can do this alongside these men in a way that is authentic, that's real, that's transparent, that's raw, but that also highlights and amplifies the beauty that I see every day that I want the world to be able to see in these multifaceted men.
Did you feel like there was more of a need to show this about men of color than women of color at this time? Or did you just say, I'm going to start with the men?
No, to be honest, that's a really fantastic question. And I don't want to say that there was a greater need for men of color versus women of color, but I will say that I have seen myself more represented multidimensionally. As I look to other shows that exist out in the world, Married to Medicines, I saw Black female doctors. I saw my sorors as a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I get to see women, the first Miss Black USA and Kenya Moore on Real Housewives of Atlanta, who are complicated and textured and nuanced. Candy Burris, Real Housewives of Atlanta, who's started her own production company, who started out as a songwriter. I see lots of different representations, HBCU grads as a fellow Fisk University grad. I see that. I thought about, you know, growing up, I saw Claire Huxtable and Erica Alexander, who played Maxine Shaw on Living Single. Those were my representations. And I remember even thinking, I've never had a Black lawyer female in my family, but I saw those representations on TV and I said, I can do this. But I often didn't see as much of that for men. And so I thought with being a parent, you start somewhere. And I felt like the reality is with my girlfriends, a lot of times the conversations that we're having and as we're thinking through strategizing and making our next moves and what our family structures and things are going to look like into the future, we're often having these conversations in community with our men. So I didn't feel like it was an either or, but I thought that quite honestly, the primary target demographic would still be women who may want to know what men think, what are they going through? What is being said in those rooms that we're not in when they're just kind of shooting the breeze with each other? And how does that impact how we may move as women?
Tell me a little bit about the format of the show. How many men or characters are there in the show, and are we following them around in their daily life, or how does it work?
So there are eight kings, eight men of Charlotte who are the primary focus of the show. There are two men who are kind of the friends of that you will see quite a bit of, and they also have big personalities. But what we wanted to showcase is a true unscripted reality show. So you're seeing them in opening businesses, launching new enterprises. You're seeing them having the uh-oh babies, like, oh, I thought we were done with our spouses. You're seeing them go on dates for the men that are single. About half of the cast are single and about half of the cast are married. You're seeing interactions with spouses, myself included, which I will admit is some of it a dual faceted role in being the executive producer, but also having my husband, who is one of the kings that kind of is a part of the show. That's never something that we thought we would do. But we wanted to be vulnerable and say, if we're asking this of these men, let's also put our lives out there. You're seeing the health journeys. But one thing I will say that was intentional that was initially more curated, but then it started to become more organic is because mental health was a key aspect of the show. And I wanted to make sure that in everything that I'm doing, that there's a mental health spin, because I think that is so important to the daily lives of everyone, quite honestly. I brought on a Black male psychologist, Dr. Anthony Smith, and I also brought on a gentleman named Terrence, who's founded Kill Pride Club. And through these two men, they're actually hosting several sit-down sessions around mental health. They're doing exercises together. They're having those brotherhood conversations. They're being honest and vulnerable. They're talking about things that historically men don't talk about, right? Anxiety, stress, grief, But they're also talking about how do we overcome these things, or what are the things that are literally killing us as a community that we need to put in the past and that we need to heal that generational trauma. So in addition to following their daily lives and seeing them interact with each other, there's small group activities, there are activities where they're all together just hanging out at places around around Charlotte. They're also showcasing these mental health sessions to promote these dialogues that we think needs to happen and that we think can really change the world. And I will also be honest with you, Rachel, that as a person of intentionality and as a person who loves the city that I'm in, I saw the devastation that hit many of the Black and minority-owned businesses and small businesses in Charlotte as a result of just the shift of the pandemic and how the new ways of working. And so we tried to be intentional to film at many of those locations who opened their doors to us, whether it's filming a lunch scene or filming the guys working out at a gym. We tried to highlight some of those businesses so that our supporters and the people that are viewing the show can try these new spots, can support the economic recovery of these small and minority-owned businesses, some of which the guys also own. So that was kind of a hidden gem you'll start to see in the show.
How many episodes are there? Is it one big episode or is it several?
That's an excellent question, Rachel. And that kind of brings me to why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I have kind of shoestring this whole thing financially, me and my family, just support, like we came together to fund this. So because of that, what we have filmed is a short sizzle, an extended trailer, an extended sizzle, and a pilot episode, which we hope to have a pilot premiere at Independent Picture House in Charlotte in February, Black History Month. But one of the goals that we wanted to have is to get this show picked up by a distributor that could take the vision and the show and have the financial resources to actually film a full season and hopefully more. We hope that this is the inspiration for a national or even a global franchise like many of the ones that I named before. But because I'm not an industry insider, because I'm an attorney and inclusion leader and a mom, I don't always have directly the entertainment connections or the connections to the production companies. So I decided, being inspired by Issa Rae, to launch this, to film this and put our own social media campaign, which we encourage everyone to follow it, at The Kings of the Queen City. We encourage you to follow us because we're trying to prove a grassroots swelling so that we can have more than just a sizzle and a pilot and a episode, but that we can have a full season, that this has the full weight and support of Charlotte, of our North Carolina sisters, of our Southeastern region, and hopefully the nation. So we're hoping to get that grassroots swelling to prove an audience so that our show does get picked up and you can see more than just the episode.
For those who don't understand what a sizzle is, can you explain that?
A sizzle is like a spicy preview of what's to come, right? You get some of the exciting moments and some of the controversial moments, right, throughout the film. And we put it together for a little package. So you'll get a little teaser almost. And we wanted to be intentional around dropping everything piecemeal so that you can kind of build the knowledge of the characters. You're visiting our social media pages and seeing their promo. You're getting to know and invested in the characters. But we'll be dropping one thing every month through the premiere, which will be in February.
Okay. Do you have a date for the February premiere yet?
Yes, it will be February the 26th.
Okay, great. At Independent Picture House.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Carla Anderson, it's very interesting to talk to you about this, and best of luck with the launch and the pilot. Again, it's called Kings of the Queen City, a reality show featuring men from Charlotte. And just looking at them as they go around about their daily lives and the things that they encounter and the challenges that they face. Carla, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Rachel. And for anyone listening, please tune in right now to The Kings of the QC on all social media outlets right now. You can watch content, behind the scenes bloopers, get to know the cast. We want to be in your homes one day, and it starts with your support today. So thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We'll have a new episode for you next week. And remember, you can always go back to hear all our episodes and subscribe so you never miss one at wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Phil Vavra.